We're so excited to have all of you with us this morning as we prepare to hear from our sister, Dr. Barbara Moses, on what it means to work and manage conflict. I have quite a bit of information here that I was planning to use to introduce her, but I think I'm going to try to keep it brief. Minister Dr. Barbara Green Moses grew up in Philadelphia and was involved with the Philadelphia School District for over 30 years. She graduated from West Philadelphia High School, received her Bachelor of Science degree in Secondary Social Studies Education from Cheney State University, a Master's in Urban Education from Antioch University, and a Doctorate of Religious Education from Friends International Christian University. Our doctor, my sister, is not only well-educated, but she's also smart. And I, amen, right? I appreciate that. She retired from the school district in 1998. Shortly thereafter, she was called by God and others to serve as the principal of Philadelphia Mennonite High School. She is one of the sisters, as I have worked with her at the high school, who knows the name of every student. So as she walks through the hall, you would think that they were all of her natural-born children, because she does indeed relate to them that personally. There is much to say about all of the rewards and honors that our sister has received in her work as an educator, as a principal at the high school, and beyond. And there's just two final important points I want to make about who our sister is. While I did indeed indicate that she has received several degrees, the most important degree that she received was her BA, which is her born-again degree, at the age of 9. Our sister was recently licensed as a minister in her home congregation, where she is known as the Reverend Barbara Moses. And she shares there on a regular basis in giving leadership. She is a sister of wisdom, dedication, faith, and I will personally say, indeed, a good friend. Barbara's word about conflict is simply this, and she'll certainly say more about that, is that conflict can't be avoided, but it most certainly can be managed. And so will you please join me in welcoming our sister, Dr. Barbara Moses.
Thank you so much, Ertel. Good morning, everyone. And I'm just Barbara. They always often ask me at church, what should we call you? Dean? Dean of School of Evangelism. Doctor? Reverend? Mom? Aunt? Cousin? And my response is, call me anything but too late to eat. And I give that to you this morning. Call me anything but too late to eat. Okay. It's your walk, not your talk. It's your talk, your walk, not your talk, okay? I am excited to be here, and I know a number of you, and I don't know if we have time, but I'd like to at least hear everyone's name and your affiliation before we get started. I'd like to be personal with folks. It makes me feel more comfortable, okay? So if we can just start here, maybe, and just go around the room, say who you are, your affiliation.
I serve at Perkiomenville Mennonite Church.
Mike Durstein from Plains Mennonite Church.
My name is Derek Cooper. I'm at Doylestown Mennonite Church.
Amy Yoder McLaughlin from Germantown Mennonite.
Scott Hackman. I serve through Doylestown Mennonite.
Chris Ann Swartley, Doylestown Mennonite.
Eva Kratz. I do prison ministry out of Franconia Mennonite.
Drew Hart. I'm just exploring the Mennonite denomination.
Steve Landis, pastor at Franconia Mennonite.
Sarah Bergen, Care and Share Thrift Shop.
Jay Moyer, Covenant Community Fellowship.
Mary Beth Benner, Salford Mennonite.
Ray Hurst, Living Branches.
John Gosho, Blooming Glen Mennonite.
Jennifer Erickson Morales, Franconia Conference and Satterton Mennonite.
Noah Cobb, part of the staff of the Franconia Conference Plains Congregation. Elaine Moyer, Mennonite Education Agency in Salford, Mennonite.
Mike Hedrick, I'm a member at Zion Mennonite, and I work as a hospital chaplain in Lehigh Valley Hospital.
Mary Benner, Satterton Mennonite.
Conrad Schwarzentruber, Christopher Dock, and at Plains Mennonite.
John Hendrickson, Frederick Living Retirement Community.
Bob Rutt, Penview Christian School and Blooming Glen Mennonite Church.
Luke Beidler, Norristown, PA.
Lynn Alabach, Methacton Mennonite Church and Living Branches.
Ron Kolb-Wyckoff, Methacton Mennonite.
Marty Kolb-Wyckoff, Rock Hill Mennonite Community and Methacton.
Ken Burkholder, Deep Run East, Mennonite Church.
Gay Brunt Miller, Franconia Conference staff.
Ertel Wiggum, Associate Pastor, Norristown New Life Mennonite Church.
Thank you all very much for taking the time to do that. I'm excited, as I said, to be here. I'm also feeling real supported by my Mennonite principal colleagues, my sisters and my brothers in the education ministry. I'm glad to see you. Give me a little confidence here. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today, a day we've never seen before, and a day we'll never see again, with gratitude in our heart and love for you. We thank you, God, for just being God. We thank you for this opportunity. We ask that you would bless everyone here. We give this presentation to you, Lord, and we pray, God, that you will manifest yourself in your child, that you might be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, I do pray with thanksgiving, your servant. Amen. All right. We've had our introductions. We've had prayer. What are some of the things you expect to get from this today? So I don't come assuming anything. Make sure I hit your needs. What would you like? What do you expect to get out of this, or what would you like to get out of this today? Okay, practices for managing conflict. Oh, I can do that and go home.
To make conflict go away.
To make conflict go away. Okay, I can sit down. Anyone else? Great. Okay, conflict, you know, is not a bad thing. And if you look at your notes, let me just give these out right now. Thank you, Dick. Thank you so much for offering. Conflict can be good and it can be bad. God has created us to be diverse people. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different experiences. And we bring those things with us in any audience. We're not going to all think alike. We're not going to all have the same opinions. But it doesn't mean we can't get along. I think one of the key things we have to remember is that the only person we can control is ourselves. God gave us dominion over ourselves. We can't dominate our spouses. We can't really dominate our kids. We do try. We pray hard that they get it, you know, that it'll click. But the only person over whom we have control is ourselves. I can control what I say. How I say it, but I can't control what you think, or I can't even imagine what you're thinking. So it's important that we understand who we are in this relationship. And as children of God, Christ, the fullness of the Godhead lives in us. And so we are ambassadors, we are representatives of Christ. I can't say everything I'd like to say. Even though the natural woman in me would like to say a whole lot sometimes, okay? But who am I representing? I'm representing Christ. And as a Christian, that has to be my priority, to reflect him at all costs and in all situations. And that is not easy, but we have to remember, we have to represent Christ in every situation, even the ones where we are sitting there in our minds getting that person so told. But he or she will never know. Because it's not being phony. It's just saying, I will crucify myself. I will take this pain. I will take this hurt for the glory of God. And I am responsible for how I respond to anyone and to everyone. Okay? If we look at our goal for today, our goal is to understand that all conflicts can't be resolved, but they can all be managed for the glory of God and to your benefit. You can manage conflict safer. We're going to use that as an acronym. If you have a silent tongue, you know, the organ, the tongue is a muscle. It weighs about 1/10 of a pound and it has no brain. You cannot control, the tongue has no brain. It does not make decisions on what to say. So it's a heart issue and a mind issue. It's a renewing of the mind that God has called us to. So we are called as Christians to conduct ourselves in a remarkably different way from the world. That's how they got the name Christian. They were acting like Christ. It was a negative initially. You know, for someone to say you were a Christian was really like calling you something profane initially. But they were acting like Christ. And so we have to act like Christ. I know it's in the culture they say, what would Jesus do? But that's basically what, you know, how would Jesus handle this, you know, when someone has hurt my feelings or said something to which I disagree. And James, I love the book of James for pastors, and principals. The book of James is wonderful for us. James prayed so hard. He was the son of Jesus. I'm sorry, he was the brother of Jesus. And ran. work with me here. He was the brother of Jesus. He ran the Jerusalem church. And these were all new Christians, and he was trying to help them understand. You know, he grew up with Jesus. He knew how Jesus conducted himself. And he knew he wasn't phony, and he did things differently than other folks. And poor James, he's trying to help these new Christians, many of whom are, you know, Jews who were Jewish, trying to mold them into this Christian life, to act and conduct themselves like Christ. They said James prayed so hard, they used to call him camel knees because he would have almost calluses on his knees for praying for these folks who didn't know how to control themselves, you know. But if you want to get some good direction, it's almost a the New Testament proverb, they call it. Lots of wisdom on how to conduct yourself in the church, especially in that church community. Read the book of James. It's wonderful. And I just love the way the message says things. If you look at the scripture on your the front of your program, this is from the message. It says, may God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together. Spirit, your pneuma. Soul, your soma. Soul, your psuche, and body, your soma, and keep it fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. And what he's called us to, and each of you is a leader in your own right, he has called you. And it is not going to be easy to adapt and to do a lot of the things we're going to learn about today. But he's faithful. They say the church has been very good with the spirit, the pneuma, and very good with the physical body. But that soul thing, your mind, your will, and your emotions, has two levels. There's the lower level, the base. And then it's when the Holy Spirit quickens you, your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions come to another level. And that's where we have to get as Christians, as children of the Lord. James talks about us being double-minded. You know, we struggle between two ways of conducting ourselves. We either act like the devil, or we're going to act like Christ. We really don't have a lot of choices there. We either act like the devil, or we act like Christ. Okay, so we're going to use the acronym SAFER. Silent tongue. That means you don't, not that you don't say anything, but I think it was Carnegie who says the only way to get the best of an argument is to avoid it. And it doesn't mean to run away from it necessarily, but don't feed into it. I often tell the students at Mennonite, and we do teach this. I do teach this at, for a quarter of the semester to all new students. And we've been blessed with four fights in 14 years. And the last one was in 03. So most of the kids who are there have never seen a physical altercation in the building. But when you train people, or train children even, how to respond, I call it their response ability. When you teach them how to respond to situations, that they're already winners in Christ, they don't have to prove anything to anybody, then when they get the tools, they know how to conduct themselves and how to avoid the conflict, okay? Or how to lessen the conflict, or how to smother the conflict. Not that they're not going to have conflicts, because they still have their arguments. I'm not going to tell you to sit here and say, we have had no arguments. No, we have arguments. But it's how you argue. And I don't see this as a skill for Philadelphia Mennonite. I see this as a life skill for relationships with your boss, relationship with your spouses, relationship with your neighbors. It's about relationships. And to me, it's a life skill. If I were superintendent of any school system, a major course would be conflict mediation, management. Because as I said, I don't like to call it conflict resolution because all of them can't be resolved, but all could be managed. I had a teacher once who misunderstood something I said in faculty meeting. And I had never had this experience. You know, I was not a principal when the Lord called me to Philadelphia Mennonite. So I was like, excuse me? He went off, screaming and yelling. Yeah, I was like, that was totally out of my realm of understanding for him. And I sat there, and I'm from 60th and Market, just in case any, if you know 60th and Market, that's in West Philadelphia. So I know how to go there. Okay, I know, it's in my genes. I know how to go there, but I can't go there, because I represent Christ. So he's acting, way! And I'm thinking all kinds of stuff. Won't bore you with those details. And I never changed my countenance. I said, well, I think you and I should discuss this in my office after the meeting. Did not feed his fire. I could have fed his fire, because I know how to go there. Excuse me? Are you talking to me? Oh, I know you're not talking to me. I am the principal of this high school. I have the power and the authority to put you out. You know, go pack your trash and get out of my school. I could go there. But who do I represent? I don't know what his issues are, what baggage he's bringing to this, what misunderstanding. So here, when he came into the office, he said, you wanted to see me? I said, yes, I did. Thank you so much for coming. Could you help me understand what happened at the meeting today? I said, I was really surprised at that response from you, but I want to understand where you were coming from. Was there something I said or something that was misunderstood by you? So he went on, why you said so-and-so, and blah, 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 blah. I said, that's not what I said. I said such and such and such. Oh, I thought you said. I said, well, that's okay. But I'll tell you one thing. That relationship went to a totally different level of respect between the two of us. There was nothing until the day he left that I ever asked him to do that he did not bend over backwards to accomplish. I did not embarrass him in front of the faculty. I did not embarrass myself in front of the faculty. So you're responsible. So that silent tongue doesn't mean you don't say anything necessarily, but what you say is crucial. How you approach, can't blame people because you have to understand their perspective. And communication skills are crucial. Words are only 7% of communication. Body language, 55. Tone of voice, 38%. Words are 7%. I hate the word shut up. Thurston, shut up. Elaine, shut up. I'm acting. Conrad, would you mind getting quiet, please? Bob, I said, shut up. Now, same words? Same words? Are they the same words? Hello, Walls. Yeah. Oh, same words. What was different about each one? Tone and body. Right, body language. Body language speaks very loud. I'll ask the student, come here, sweetheart. Did she say anything? Oh, yeah. You know, what do you want? And why are you bothering me? That's what, nothing came out of her mouth. But her body language spoke volumes. Attitudes, rolling of the eyes, okay? All that stuff speaks very loudly. The other part of SAFER, attentive ear, an attentive ear, listening. The word says that everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Don't jump to conclusions because at that point, you're looking at it from your perspective. Always find out what the other person's perspective is. Listen. That's why we have two ears and one tongue. We're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. But not to, and when we listen, we have to hear what the person's saying. Because someone could sit in this room even, look at me the whole time, and never hear what I'm saying, because they're not really listening. They're just focused, but not their mind. Now, should I have roast beef? No, it's a red meat. I better stick with chicken, baked. Yeah, that's what I'm going to have for dinner tonight. Okay? Mine's somewhere else. Looking as if they're attentive, but mine, their mind is somewhere else. A faithful heart, a heart towards God, a love for your neighbor, which is the royal law, James 2:8. And your neighbor is anyone in need in particular, but anyone around you is your neighbor. An attentive, faithful heart towards God. How am I going to represent Christ as his ambassador? And then an edifying perspective. I'm looking to do what's good for you and what glorifies God. Even if I have to be the one who looks bad from the world's perspective. I had an aunt once. Well, she's deceased now. I had an aunt, my mom's sister. And I had said something about 3 years before in the car with some neighbors, and we were going to church. And I said it, you know, very innocently. Didn't mean any harm. She held it for 3 years. And one Sunday we were going out and she had prepared dinner for us. And a friend of mine said, well, let's go out. And I said, oh, you know, Auntie has prepared dinner. Let me see if she would mind if you joined us. And so I went down and I said, Auntie, Joyce wants to know if she can join us. Would it be okay? And she just snapped on me. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you eat or if you don't eat. Now, this is my loving, wonderful aunt. And I'm sitting there like, huh? What did I say? I said, Joyce can eat dinner. And she, I don't care what you do. And, oh, I was so hurt and embarrassed, you know. And I went to my mother. I said, I am sick of your sister. I'm a getter. Now, here's how Satan works. I went to prayer service. Now, this is B.C., not before my real relationship with Christ began. I had a relationship, but he had not regened me completely. You know, my attitude wasn't quite there. I was in my early 20s, I guess. I went to prayer service because I knew she'd be at prayer service to talk to her and to get her straight. But God is good. My pastor, who's my first cousin, and she was his aunt too, sat me down in the office. He said, you're a prayer service? That was the first flag. You know, I was wrong. Now they expect me a prayer service, but back then, you know, prayer service, so yeah, I could squeeze that in. But he sat down, and I said, your aunt, now I'm giving her completely to him now. Your aunt said this to me and blah, blah, blah. I explained the situation. And I said, and I'm waiting for her to come to prayer service so we could talk because I am sick of her. And so he says, well, do you know her side of the story? Why do you think she responded to you like that? I said, I don't know because I haven't done anything to her. He said, well, Barbara, you know, you can't control anyone but yourself. Why don't you ask her forgiveness? Because obviously something happened. I said, I haven't done nothing to forgive her. I haven't done anything to her. She just snapped on me like that. Well, I sat in prayer service. He said, ask her forgiveness. And I had already determined in my mind I was not asking her forgiveness because I hadn't done anything to her. And I sat in prayer service like this. And they prayed and they prayed and my aunt prayed. And, wait till you finish. And I don't know, the Spirit of God just moved in my spirit. At the end of service, I went over and something said, do it God's way. I said, Auntie, I don't know what I've said or done to you to cause you to have reacted to me that way on Sunday. I said, but if whatever I've done, would you forgive me? She started crying. Oh, yes, baby, I love you, you know. And I was like, oh, wow. Totally different from, that's what Satan wanted me to do, to take the glory from God. But what happened was she never forgot what I said 3 years ago, innocently, in that car. And my mother ended up being the one to tell me what it was. And it was such a valuable lesson to me on understanding the perspective of other people. I cannot go assuming, I don't know what she's thinking. I didn't know for 3 years she was looking at me with despise, you know, despising, you know. I had no idea that she even had that in her spirit. And she may not have intentionally done it. But do you know one thing? Satan has not changed his MO. He uses us against each other. He hasn't changed his MO. He's the same way he was in the Garden of Eden. The poor snake is still suffering from the reputation he gained in the Garden of Eden. But we read the word, it says Satan got into this snake or this serpent. But if you think about it, what did Moses raise when he was in the desert and the poisonous snakes were biting the people? What was it? The snake on a pole, which if you look at any medical EMS wagon, what's the symbol? The snake on the pole. We don't worry about the snake on the pole. We remember the snake that messed up Eve and Adam and caused us all this issue, all these issues. It wasn't a snake. It was Satan using the snake. It's not us. It's Satan using us against each other. His MO hasn't changed. 1 Peter 5:8, Satan, and I remind the kids this all the time, Satan openly, boldly says, when God asks him what he's doing, I am looking for people to destroy. I am walking about to and fro the earth looking for people to destroy. Now, if you know his game plan, you should be on guard. Everything that comes out of your mouth, his intent is to what? Destroy us. And we don't want to give him any glory. We don't want to give him any glory. And so we're looking to have an edifying perspective. Don't speak evil against each other. Even criticism should be done in a spirit of love, in hope of helping a person, in the hope of helping a person. I want you to go back to, where's the R? The R is the relationships, respectful relationships. You see that? Under your goals, there are respectful response. You should think. Is that on your paper? Okay. Here's another acronym. Think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If whatever you're getting ready to say doesn't fit those criteria, it shouldn't come out of your mouth. Because you don't always know if something is true. I remind the students never ever listen to hearsay. He said that she said, that they said that we said. Because a contraction can change the meaning of a sentence. Your mother can cook. Your mother can't cook. And if someone is walking by in a hurry, they might hear or think they heard can't. Now, I'm not going to do whisper down the lane with you guys, because I'm sure in your history you've done whisper down the lane. Is there anyone here who has not done whisper down the lane? Okay, what always happens when we whisper down the lane? It changes. I have yet to have this activity done and have a different, the same word come out of the first person and the last person. You can't repeat it. It's what you think you heard. You pass it on. The other thing I ask the students to do is when someone comes to you with he said or she said, your question to them should always be, well, if he said it or she said it, why are you telling me? He or she, each one has the same dumb tongue that has no brain, but they can come and tell me what they want me to know. And if it wasn't important enough for them to tell me, it obviously wasn't important. And then here's the favorite line from the girls especially. Well, she's my friend. I told her because she's my friend. She said, no, your friend is Jesus. He will never tell you anything wrong. He does not get things misinterpreted. He makes no mistakes. Your friend, you know, if you're a real friend, you don't tell someone something that's going to cause them harm or cause a fight or cause disruption. And if you say something, you say, you know, I believe I heard. Not, it's a fact, you know. Yeah, he said it. I heard him say it, you know. Don't believe the hype. Don't go with the he said, she said, the they said, that we said stuff, okay? Let's look at, we talked about communication skills, body language, tone of voice, and words. Let's look at perspective. I know everybody here in Psych 101 had the old woman and the young woman. You've seen that picture how many times? God only knows. Have you seen this? Yeah, most of us have seen this. What do you see? Old woman And what? The young woman. Okay? Can everyone see both? Can everyone see both? Is there anyone who can't see both? The young and the old. We're friends. You don't have to hide the fact that you can't see both of them. If anyone's near you who can't see both, help them. Okay? And whenever we look at this picture, can you see them? Now, what do we see here? We see two people. Has anyone asked you to look for anything else? We always look for the two sides of the story, but always remember there's your side, their side, and the truth. Turn your picture this way. You see anyone else? You see someone else? See if you see someone else. There's a third person in this. It's like a mask, right? You see, here's the nose, the eye. Oh. Yeah, if you turn it around, some of you who are challenged, if you turn it around and look at it from the back, I'm just teasing. I can talk about being challenged because, let me tell you, I was teaching this in seventh grade class when I was in the classroom, and a little boy in special education said, "Ms. Moses, there's a third person." And I said, "Oh, no, honey, there are only two. There's an old woman and a young woman. Can you see?" He said, "Yeah, I see the old woman and the young woman. But if you turn it this way, you see a third person." Never dawned on me to turn it and look at it from another perspective. A seventh grade special ed. So who was really special? Kid. So just because we're all looking at the same picture and we're all seeing it from our own perspective doesn't mean that there could be another one or two perspectives. Now if you turn it back, now that you know that there are other things in the picture, can you possibly see other things in your own imagination that are in this picture? Doesn't have to be a person. You see anything else? Some people see maybe an eagle, right here with the beak and the eye. And then some people see dolphins jumping. Lots of things in this one picture. And we're all looking at the same picture, seeing things differently, seeing different things. Always remember that when you're in a conflict, that just because I see it that way doesn't mean that's the way it is or it's the only way it is. I'm going to hand you another story. Oh, before we go there, how many people know the story of Little Red Riding Hood? How many people know this story? Do you know the story? Someone explain the story of Little Red Riding Hood to me, please. Anybody. We're doing higher order thinking here. Anyone. The story of Little Red Riding Hood. All of us know it. What happened? The kids always respond very quickly, so you're taking too long. Give me this. The wolf ate grandma.
And then pretended to be grandma.
And then pretended to be grandma. Yep. Whose perspective is this? Grandma? Okay. Grandma or Little Red?
The maligned wolf. The forest was my home. I lived there and I cared about it. I tried to keep it neat and clean. Then one sunny day, while I was cleaning up some garbage a camper had left behind, I heard footsteps. I leaped behind a tree and saw a rather plain little girl coming down the trail carrying a basket. I was suspicious of this little girl right away because she was dressed funny. all in red, and her head covered up, so it seemed like she didn't want people to know who she was, where she was going, where she had come from, and all that. She gave me a song and dance about going to her grandmother's house with a basket of lunch. She appeared to be a basically honest person, but she was in my forest, and she certainly looked suspicious with that strange get-up of hers. So I decided to teach her just how serious it is to prance through the forest unannounced and dress funny. I let her go on her way, but I ran ahead to her grandmother's house. When I saw that nice old woman, I explained my problem, and she agreed that her granddaughter needed to learn a lesson, all right. The old woman agreed to stay out of sight until I called her. Actually, she hid under the bed. When the girl arrived, I invited her into the bedroom where I was in the bed, dressed like the grandmother. The girl came and all rosy-cheeked and said something nasty about my big ears. I've been insulted before, so I made the best of it by suggesting that my big ears would help me to hear better. Now, what I meant was that I liked her and wanted to pay close attention to what she was saying. But she makes another insulting crack about my bulging eyes. Now you can see how I was beginning to feel about this girl who put on such a nice front, but was apparently a very nasty person. Still, I've made it a policy to turn the other cheek, so I told her that my big eyes helped me to see her better. Her next insult really got to me. I've got this problem with having big teeth, and that little girl made an insulting crack about them. I know that I should have had better control, but I leaped up from that bed and growled that my teeth would help me to eat her better. Now, let's face it, no wolf would ever eat a little girl. Everyone knows that. But that crazy girl started running around the house screaming, me chasing her to calm her down. I'd taken off the grandmother's clothes, but that only seemed to make it worse. And all of a sudden, the door came crashing open and a big lumberjack is standing there with his axe. I looked at him, and it became clear that I was in trouble. There was an open window behind me, and out I went. I'd like to say that that was the end of it, but that grandmother character never did tell my side of the story. Before long, the word got around that I was a mean, nasty guy. Everybody started avoiding me. I don't know about that little girl with the funny red outfit, but I didn't live happily ever after.
Whose perspective is this? The wolf's perspective. And until today, had you ever heard his side of the story? Various perspectives, opposite perspectives from what we've learned, even as children. But it's important for kids to learn that just because that's the way you see it or think about it, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it is. Okay? So it's important to communicate, to sit down, to talk to people, to find out, to listen, to get their side of the story compared to yours. And sometimes kids can't do that. I mean, sometimes adults can't do that. So it's all right, and the word tells us to go get somebody else to help us do that so you can get a mediator. Because sometimes we're so emotionally involved with our side of it, our perspective, that we don't want to hear anything that anybody else has to say. No, you couldn't have possibly thought that because I didn't do it that way. And so it's good for someone who's not emotionally attached to the situation to sit down with us and help us to figure it out. Matthew 18 gives us the principles for that, going to our brother. The word God says also, if you have aught with your brother, you shouldn't even come to the table with your little sacrifices, your little offerings. Leave the offering, go get the stuff straight. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Doesn't say not to get angry. We're human, we're going to get angry, but not to hoard it, not to keep it, not to let it infect us. And you talk about people who are sickly, a lot of times it's unforgiveness. And I've chosen to live a long time, if it's God's will. So I've chosen not to hate anybody. or dislike or try to be vengeful, for the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I'll handle it. God will do it better than you can ever think of doing it. Because the word is like a two-edged sword, cutting and getting into places we could never, ever enter. The heart, the mind, the spirit. We can't go there. But if you're working with Christians, the Holy Spirit will convict them. Pray for them. Because all you do when you confront is to add oil to the fire. What happens to a fire when you don't put anything on it? It dies. It dies. You go on camping, you know, try to roast your little marshmallow. You keep putting wood and paper to keep the fire going. Every time you put something on it, you know. And you can agree to disagree. It's okay. You know, we don't have to agree. Well, that's the way I see it. That's the way you see it. I still love you. It's all right. God bless you. You don't have to always come into, you know, ring around the rosy time, you know. We can agree to disagree and still love. And still love for the glory of God. Okay. One of the things I wanted to talk about in communications, I hate to go back, but when you're talking to people, would be triggers. That's not on your paper. Triggers. Do you know what a trigger is? Well, even if you think about a gun or a rifle, what's a trigger? Sets it off. It pulls your string and then it lets it off. A trigger. You should know your triggers. A trigger is anything emotionally that sets you off. Now, in my culture, the way I was reared, we were not allowed to say what to our parents. I don't care how nicely you thought you said it. You did not respond with what. When my parents called, it was yes. I mean, uh-huh was better than what. And my mother didn't like uh-huh. But Barbara, yes. Barbara, what? You know, both my parents just really had a thing. So I grew up really having a thing in my own spirit about people responding to me when I called them with what? But that's my problem. I had a boss who I love dearly, still today at the district, Joe. And we're best buddies, even today. We go out to lunch once a year. And when he would call me, or if I call him, I said, Joe, what? Now, Joe doesn't know about my little upbringing. He doesn't know that was a thing in our household. It wasn't a thing, obviously a thing in his. You know? So should I get nasty with Joe? No. But Joe needed to know that it bothered me. Not that I needed him to adjust to it, but just so he would be aware that it's something that just kind of makes me flutter in my spirit when someone, as if I'm annoying them, you know. So I went to Joe after we started working together, because we were colleagues, and then he got promoted. And so I said, Joe, this is not your problem. Let me take full responsibility of this problem that I have. In our household growing up, we were not allowed to say what, respond to our parents with what. And so for some reason, I can't explain it to you, but it still bothers me when people, and I never let my daughter respond to me with what, or her children with what. I said, this is not your problem. It is totally mine, but I just need to make you aware of it because it does bother me. He said, oh, Barbara, I'm sorry. And he would be very careful. I could see him sometimes wanting to say what when I called him. yes, Barb. You know, and it wasn't an issue. It was not his issue. It was my issue. But it was enough of an issue for me, a trigger for me, to emotionally tilt me a little bit. Not dramatically, but just enough to emotionally trip me a little bit or tip me that I thought it necessary to let him know that it was something that kind of bothered me. And he worked real hard not to say what to me, and we worked together for 12 years. you know, still real good friends. What are some of your triggers? I told you earlier, shut up is one of my words that triggers me. Those words trigger me. What are some of your triggers?
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, anybody else?
Hanging in there.
You hanging in there?
Because we had a son that hung up.
Oh, really? See, people don't know. Yeah. Yeah, people don't, you don't know where people are, what causes them to respond in a certain way. No one would ever know that, Eva, had you not said that today, right? Now, how many people are going to stay hanging there to Eva from now on? Nobody. Okay? It's real. It sounds petty and minute, but it's important. Anyone else?
It's all good.
It's all good? Why does that bother you?
Because it's not
all. It's a story. Anyone else?
You should have.
You should have. Okay, you should have. All right, why does that bother you? Okay.
Mom, you should have. Or
yeah.
Sam, you should have.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's so retarded or that's so gay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Why does that bother you?
I was never allowed to say those things.
Okay.
And not to put down other people. And that was one of those ways. Shut up was a big one, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's almost like a curse word.
Mm-hmm. James addresses all these in the book of James. He addresses them. He says, what causes, you know, when we look at what causes these wars. I think it's James 4:12. Let's turn. Yeah, anybody have the Bible? I love the way the Message says it. Anybody have James 4:12? Well, four, let's start with one. And my eyes are a little glared, so work with me. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to, your spoiled children, each wanting your own way. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that he's a fiercely jealous lover. And what he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. Grace is another definition is God's exchange of his ability for your inability. When we look at the Beatitudes, human beings cannot live the Beatitudes. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit in us to quicken us, to make us alive, to live those Beatitudes. And they go from chapter 5 through 7. And at the end, God says, these are my doctrines. It always takes, we have all these different doctrines. God said, these are my doctrines. So why we have 100 others? He says, these are my doctrines. This is the way you're to live if you call my name or say that you're my child. So let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life, living from the inside out. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, his message, his royal rule that takes a beating in that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring the message, not writing graffiti all over it. God is in charge of deciding human destiny. Who do you think you are to meddle in the destiny of others? Love, James. Such practical wisdom for each of us.
You know, share with each other, hey, you know, when you say this or when you respond this way, mm-hmm. it's a trigger for me, right. And just to understand each other, yeah. because probably we live with some of this stuff for years, and we never really get honest enough to talk about it.
Right.
So that's a challenge for me to think yeah. about how do we kind of play that out in our relationships mm-hmm. with each other.
Yeah, just be asked. Yeah. Do you have triggers? Are there things that I can say or could do or expressions even that I might, you know, talk to the hand, you know? Are there expressions that I might have or mannerisms that I might have that would, you know, cause you to, you know, flutter in your spirit, cause you discomfort, to be uncomfortable in my presence? I think it's wise to ask. I think it's wise to ask. I'm not going to read this to you because I need to assess what you've learned today. You can read on your own. You're all intelligent people. Not intelligent, I said intelligent. But anyway, so you can read through this. Right now, I want you at each your table, I want you to make up a commercial. Pick out one of the things we've talked about today, maybe something even with SAFER or THINK. Use one of the acronyms, but each table is going to give me a commercial, okay, that they would promote on TV or radio to encourage people to resolve conflicts from a Christian perspective. Okay, I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Work together. I'm assessing your knowledge. Okay, we ready? You can fake it till you make it. Let's go. All right, we have team one, team two, team three, team four. So we'll start with team one. Team one, ready with the commercial? All right, we're ready.
When someone hit him, he turned the other cheek.
He is the most interesting man alive.
When someone chose him as king, he walked away.
He is the most interesting man alive.
When they took his cloak, he gave them his shirt as well.
He is the most interesting man alive.
When he was offered a beautiful villa in Galilee, he chose a life with the birds, and a life of simplicity.
He's the most interesting man alive.
Amen. Good job. All right. Team two? That was Noah, what? No, I'm Suzuki. All right. Ready for number two?
Because of God, who is, you too, TWO, can handle conflict in a much safer manner. Silent tongue, attentive ear, faithful heart, edifying perspective, respectful response. And the first 10 callers to this 800 number will receive a free Bible.
All right. All right. Thank you. Team three?
A godly tongue will take cues from the Spirit of Christ and will bring edification to all for its silence, its thoughtful control.
On the other hand, engaging your tongue without a God-controlled heart
and mind can lead to hurt feelings, embarrassment, anger, misunderstanding, losing friends, joblessness, divorce, loss of integrity, alienation from others, depression, death, in extreme cases, shunning.
Ooh. Thank you. Good job. All right. Four. So you can fake it till you make it. Let's go.
Is the scenario where there's perspectives in every situation that you come into. Mm. The first one was, it might have looked like I was going to hit him or he was going to punch me back. Mm-hmm. The next perspective was, we turned to give you a different angle, as we had with the woman in the picture, that you would not still know what exactly it was, but you would generate from your own mind the idea of what you thought it was. And then we put a cup in the hand to just distinguish that I was handing him a cup of water to drink. The fourth and final scene was he received the cup and was going to be refreshed.
Amen. All right. All right. You guys are good. Praise the Lord. There are six essential questions on your paper. As I said, I'm not reading these to you, but just look at the six. These are questions as Christians you should ask yourselves
when managing a conflict. How can I glorify God in this situation? How can I please and honor the Lord in this situation? How can I grow to be like Christ? How can I accept responsibility for my role in the conflict and do what God requires of me? How can I help others to understand how they contributed to the conflict? Not blaming. Always asking. I love the words, help me understand. The word says it's better to understand than to be understood. And six, how can I demonstrate forgiveness and encourage a reasonable solution to the conflict? There are some three basic responses to conflict. You can either fake peace, you can either break peace, or you can make peace, which is what we're trying to do as children of the Lord, especially Mennonites, but all of us. We are children of the Lord. Amen. When I was a teacher at Shoemaker Junior High School 30 years ago and was teaching this kind of stuff to my children, there was a book out. I think if you Google his name, Fern, you'll probably get, there's a whole book on perspectives. I think you'll find him really helpful. Okay, yeah. Google his name, you'll probably get the book, or go to, let me just pass on a good resource in case you haven't heard about it. Half.com. And if you haven't heard of Half.com, write this down. Whatever Amazon has on sale, if you go to Half.com, you can get it for half or less. I bought a $12 book for 71 cents. I was upset because the postage was $3.99. But, but still cheaper than the book, okay? So, any questions, issues, concerns? I hope this has been helpful for you today. I've truly enjoyed being here. Thank you so much, Bishop Rattel and Gay, for the invitation to come. And anytime, I'd be happy to come again. God bless you. Love you much.
It's truly been our privilege to have you here today, Barbara. Thank you so much. You gave us a lot to think about and some new things to try. So. May God's kingdom be extended because of what we heard today.
Amen.
I was hoping I would have an October pastors and leaders event to announce to you today. Unfortunately, things didn't quite come together yet. They still may for something else, so keep your eyes attuned. We have a new website, and I believe if some of you are not pastors or conference-related ministry leaders but want to get the notes to pastors, you can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you go to our website, look for notes to pastors and subscribe to that feed, and you will automatically get the announcements that go out to pastors, so you can be aware of what's happening. Please leave your name tags as you go, and I have invited Noah Kolb to send us with a blessing.
Amen. Let us pray. God, we came here each from our own homes, unique individuals. We've come in peace to learn about and to work together to think about life, which often brings us into conflict. Thanks for the gifts that you've given to our sister Barb, for the life that she has demonstrated and for what she has shared with us. And thanks for the wisdom of James, as that has been opened to us as well. We leave now, O God, with this these understandings, these insights. May you bless us with wisdom to practice it, to follow Jesus, to invite your Spirit to make us different people, people of peace. Bless us as we go. Amen.